The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb. Touchdown.
Parsons has sacked it. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
Welcome to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. We are live from the Star in Frisco here in the SWBC podcast studio, here with Isaiah Standback, here with John Machota. I am Josh Rodriguez filling in for Kyle Yeomans, who's out, and also Nick Harris is not here today.
What?
I don't know.
What the heck?
He just decided to do 20 hours of radio over the weekend and then, like, not come back.
How dare him?
How dare he?
Send him some tea.
But, it is the draft is over, guys. We actually have our 2024 Dallas Cowboys draft class. Lots to discuss there. We got Zeke to discuss. So how are we feeling, guys?
I was going to ask you the same question.
How am I feeling?
How are you feeling?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it's a... Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Let's get into it, right? NFL draft.
That is a nice hoodie, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
John, how you doing?
Nice. I'm good. I was a little disappointed that Nick's not here. I wanted to give him some props for how good of a job I thought that they did.
Yeah. Incredible,
let's
really.
Let's get a hand clap. Here we go.
Yeah. It's funny because we are in a media workroom on the other side of the building while the draft's going on, all the other reporters, and being around anybody for that, especially that entire Saturday, like,
yeah,
and get annoying, and you can at least get out of the room and walk around. But if you're on the draft show, you got to go. You know, you have to be there for all the picks, and that day can be a real workout. So I don't envy them on that Saturday.
No, and if you're watching, they're eating between picks.
Standing up, trying to walk around and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. But shouts to them, and then also Chris Beam in the back.
Absolutely.
For everything
you guys
that he
did a great job, Beamer.
Rolling all that beautiful Beam footage.
I try.
Yeah,
He did a great job, and Jazz as well. I mean, they just killed it. I think,
you know, Beamer has to do work for every single pick.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
Every single one.
That's wild.
Dude's killing it.
Yeah.
On the daily.
And
you guys had a lot of good stuff with Saturday morning before day three started, with a lot of the members of the scouting staff in here talking about some of the picks and stuff. A lot of great content. I mean, but the draft shows, it's always been great. So I know I'm not saying anything new to anybody that's watched it, but yeah, they did a great job this year.
Of course. And it's funny, like, even before I was even working here, my favorite thing to do was to listen to the draft show, like, not even like a homer take or anything like that. I would genuinely take my whole weekend and listen to all of the content. I would just drive around and listen to the draft show, especially DallasCowboys.com, no commercials, you know. It was great. I loved it. And then to be kind of behind the scenes watching it, you know, how the sausage is made, loved it, man.
Yeah,
it's sure. A great experience. Isaiah's bored with me already.
I'm not, man.
Let's get to the draft.
Filling my lungs with oxygen.
Exactly. All right. So round one, pick 29, Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Round two, Marshawn Nealon, defensive end, Western Michigan. Round three, Cooper Beebe, offensive line, Kansas State. We like that one. Then we had Maris Lufau, linebacker, Notre Dame in the third round. Kalen Carson, cornerback, Wake Forest in the fifth round. Ryan Flournoy, wide receiver, Southeast Missouri State, sixth round. Then Nathan Thomas, offensive tackle, Louisiana Lafayette in the seventh round. And then finally, Justin Rogers, defensive tackle from Auburn in the seventh round, 244th pick. So that is our rookie class.
Congrats.
I don't want you guys to grade this. I hate grading classes. How do we feel? Just a gut feeling.
I honestly feel... While I was watching it, okay, I was actually at a former NFL players event put on by the NFLPA, and I was watching it. They were talking, but I'm literally watching the screen the whole time because I'm interested in what's going on. And I am relatively proud about what the Cowboys did.
Relatively proud.
I'm relatively proud because I'm proud of the fact that they moved back and acquired what they needed.
Absolutely.
Did they miss out on somebody who could have came in and had immediate impact? Absolutely. Everybody knows that was the pick. But they went back and got a third.
Yeah.
And I think that was huge. And I mean, the conversations we're having, you know, former players, you know, guys have their opinions, very opinionated. And I'm like, there's not enough cash. There's not enough cash to go get who you want on the open market. You've missed the major wave of that anyways. You have to acquire picks. So for them to actually acknowledge that, I feel like they are really facing themselves in the mirror and making some very sound and mature decisions this year in regards to the organization as a whole. And moving back and acquiring another pick in the third was huge for them. And then I think they addressed some of their needs. Going into this draft, we knew they weren't going to be able to address every single hole. There was too many gaps. But I think they did a good job of saying, okay, you know what, we can't address everything, but let's at least feel really good about one aspect of our team, and that was the offensive line, and I'm very proud that they did that.
I was telling some friends this the other day, even before the draft starts, I don't even need to know which players are out there. If you tell me that my team has the 24th pick in the draft, and before the draft even starts, you go, well, I'm going to move you back to 29, but I'm going to also give you an early third, I really don't even need to know what's out there. I think I'm taking it every time. And so for them to get on the clock and make that move, they could have easily taken Tyler Guyton at 24, and people would have been like, yeah, it makes sense. He was the next best offensive tackle on the board. I think Graham Barton is probably the one across the board. Mm-hmm. More people would have the higher grade on, cleaner prospect, probably steps in right away and are less question marks. But you could easily have taken Guyton there. But then to move back to 29 and then get that early third and to use it on a guy like Cooper Beebe, who he could be your center. If that doesn't work out, he could be Zach Martin's heir apparent at right guard.
Absolutely.
And then so that was the other part of it, because I look at that 2014 draft class with Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence. They both are entering the final years of their contracts. Hey, I'm not saying this is their final year with the Cowboys, but it might be.
Yeah.
And if it is, you with Beebe, with Nealand in the second round, you've addressed guys that, hey, we have to get more depth. We have to get talent at those positions because we could have some serious holes there the following year. In that being said, the one part that I didn't like is just the running back thing, because I felt like it. I don't just judge it off of this draft class. I judge it off the last two. And for you not to get a running back in the second, third, fourth, fifth round each of these past two drafts, I just see it as, you know, after the draft they talk about how, like, well, you know, when we got on the board, there wasn't a running back there that we liked more than the player we drafted. And I get that. But also it shows you how you value the running back position. Correct. And I'm getting the feeling about running back the same way I felt about this team for a while, that safety, where it was like, not only were they not really interested in doing much at safety, it was like nobody in the league was doing less at safety than the Cowboys. And that's kind of where they've gotten with running back. But as Jerry mentioned after the draft, I don't think that they're done at running back. It's one of those things where they could go into the season, and if no one's really emerging, their hand could be forced where they have to make a move. Kind of like they did for Amari Cooper in 2019. The only thing is, though, is that you're not going to have to give up a one to get a veteran running back from another team. So that's the one thing. Much like safety, if you're going to devalue certain positions, I get it because of the way the market is at them. But it's one of those things where I didn't expect them to do much, but I expected them to do more than where we sit today.
But I think it's without that fourth round pick, I think that was really it. That's when you saw those running backs flying off the board.
Makes me think even if they had the fourth rounder, they weren't taking a running back.
Really?
Yeah, I think they would have. I think of no matter if you devalue the position to a certain extent, I think that you can talk yourself out of anything. And you can talk yourself into another player there. There could have been another offensive lineman there. They talk about how great this offensive line class is. You could have taken a defensive tackle there.
Right.
Could have taken a corner maybe early.
Earlier.
So I think that they could have talked themselves out of any of those. I don't think they loved any of them, to be honest with you. I don't think they loved any of the running backs last year either.
Well, and you also have to think that the Zeke Elliott talk was pretty prominent before the draft even started, and I think that was sort of the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Even coming out of the draft, Jerry Jones even said that, I think, in the first presser after they picked Tyler Guyton, was that very much he thinks Zeke is still a starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I think the writing was on the wall even before the draft.
For sure, but I just think that there's a decent chance that, I'm not going to say, it's less than 50%, but there's somewhat of a chance that the leading rusher for the Dallas Cowboys in 2024 still isn't even on the roster yet.
I think that's fair, and he even said in the draft sort of postmortem was that, you know, he's seen teams that have won the Super Bowl that have traded for a running back midseason.
I mean, heck, you just look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl the last few years. I mean, the Chiefs have got it done with a late-round pick in Pacheco. You look at that Rams team, they had Sony Michel and Cam Akers. And then the year before that one, or maybe you got to go 2 years. You go to 2020 with the Patriots. I mean, I'm sorry, with the Bucs. They signed Leonard Fournette like in September, right before that season started, and he ended up being there. I mean, he was a really good piece for that team. So I think there could still be some moving pieces at running back.
I'm not tripping on the running back.
No.
Like, I'm really not. Why is that? Because it goes back to what I've always stated. If you have a beast of an offensive line, mm-hmm. most running backs are fully capable of running where they're supposed to go, right? There's not – you could probably name on one hand in the league now how many running backs are creators.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I mean, it's a short list of how many guys are, like, actual creators.
And I bet you any of those guys that you name, those are significant investments, whether yes. it be through free agency yeah. or draft.
Yeah. yeah. And guys, most teams have a two-headed monster. Right, so they're not relying on one running back.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to have a tandem, and usually even that primary guy, again, he's not a creator type back. He's just a tried and true back that just knows how to follow his blockers. And I think if you invest in your offensive line, like the Cowboys seemingly are now getting back to, right, and you can play some bully ball. Let's just imagine. I'm hopeful that Cooper Beebe plays center. I'm hoping that he can learn how to snap the ball and have a shotgun snap. Because if he does, then you got some beef up front. You have some beef up front. Those three in the middle, it's like the doggone flying V. Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, right, and freaking Big Zach. Like, if you can have those three going forward, okay, and moving guys off the ball, anybody can run behind offensive linemen that can move guys to the second level. So that's why I believe that the running back position is being devalued, because you're seeing less guys who have the ability to be a Saquon, to be a Josh Jacobs, to be those dual threat, you know, running backs that can really create. And the only reason why King Henry is getting paid what he's getting paid, because he's just a mammoth, right? But think about how many other running backs are true creators. Aaron Jones is freaking balling still. And guess what? He got cut.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of Bijan Robinson, but again, Bijan Robinson, you got to spend a very high yeah. pick to get Bijan Robinson. Yeah.
There might be a list of six, eight,
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
guys that you think of that are like, you know what, like by himself, like you better be concerned about what he can do to you by himself.
Would you say Saquon is one of those?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's getting paid $27
million. That's what I was saying. Like, outside three. Of that, every other team is accompanying their primary back with somebody else, and they're not just absolute dogs at the position. That's not to disrespect the position at all. I'm just saying, if you're not making guys miss, if you're not making that first guy miss, then you're pretty much like most backs, as long as you're not fumbling the ball.
Right.
I think when the final numbers come out of that Zeke deal, it's not going to be close to three.
No, it's two guaranteed, and then even three with incentives.
Let's just wait and really? See what those come out, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be something where they're not spending significantly on Ezekiel Elliott. Now, they still do have, I think it's six in dead cap off of his previous contract or whatever, right. But I think on the new deal, it's nothing.
But that doesn't factor
yeah,
into
No, it's nothing significant. Yeah, no.
Well, I kind of wanted to get into the Zeke of it all. I mean, what was kind of, I guess we knew, question mark,
yeah.
going into the draft that this was going to be sort of the situation, regardless if they picked a running back in the later rounds, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, obviously we didn't have a fourth, but do we think that Zeke is going to sort of supplement the run game, or are we expecting, you know, vintage Zeke?
No, supplement. Right. Definitely a supplement. I mean, you look at it, I mean, it's unfortunate all these stats now are available, and his numbers have literally rescinded every single year.
Right.
So, I mean, now some of that's utilization.
He wasn't
some of
the
that
feature
is,
back in New England.
Exactly, right? So some of that's unfair. That's why I don't like just looking purely at stats. But the reality is he's towards the latter half of his career. You know, you have complementary backs here. You have Rico, you got Royce, you got Zeke, and you got Deuce. And again, I'm still, the jury's kind of out on Deuce still for me, just because of what he can provide in other aspects of the game. But I don't feel bad if you go into the season with those three at running back. I truly don't, because, again, what are you looking to do? What is your system set up to do? Is your system made for splash plays? Is your system made just to simply move the chains? If your system's made to simply just play bully ball, I like that three-headed monster.
So if this was the roster and they're playing on Sunday, when the game's over, who do you think got the most carries?
Royce.
And how many do you think? Like 10?
13.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If that. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, yeah. Again, you can rotate those guys through, and you're probably going to get the same productivity out of all of them, because they're all powerful backs. They all run downhill. They're all one-cut guys. Like, they're the same type of back. And that's not to say that they're the exact same player, but their styles are similar. Their styles are very similar. And if you're going to have – and they all have the ability to block, right? If you're going to be back there throwing a rock, they all have the ability to block. So I'm thinking – I'm truly starting to see that these guys want to just go downhill.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's coming to.
I'm interested to see when they run out there the first time with the ones out in Oxnard I find it hard to believe that Zeke ain't going to be out there at running back with the ones.
No, I think he starts for sure.
Yeah.
But I think, like you're saying, it is a sort of running back by committee. And I feel much more confident in a running back by committee than I ever did the wide receiver by committee, yes. You know, that we were trying to do for a while there. That season that we traded for Amari Cooper. But it just kind of, I think a big part of it is that you've totally retooled and redefined what our offensive line is with
yes.
the 24th pick in the NFL draft. Like yes. you turn that into two picks. You turn that into Tyler Benton and Cooper Beebe. I think
it's huge.
The offensive line, the new look offensive line is going to be, they're going to maul. I mean, and it will show no matter who is running.
It's an attitude change. It truly is an attitude change. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that there's an attitude to change there. I love Tyler Biotis, but I never felt like he had the nasty. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he was a good player. I always was on record saying that I thought he was undersized, that he didn't have necessarily the strength to move the big boys off the ball. And I never got the sense that he had that nastiness to him.
Yeah.
And now Cooper Beebe does.
Cooper Beebe
is nasty. If he can snap the ball, then you know that you got Tyler Smith who's nasty. You know Zach's nasty. So again, if you can spearhead the middle of your offensive line with three nasty cats that can move everybody off the ball, that's dangerous, regardless of who's behind you. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm less concerned about who's toting the rock as long as they don't put the ball on the ground. Mm.
I'm not big on the whole drafting for one season, so I love the picks just because, like I said, the Cooper Beebe thing correct. Could totally not work out at center.
Yeah.
And I still think you have a really good guard. And maybe that's TJ Bass ends up being center. Maybe Brock Hoffman impresses them in training camp and he's the center. I just like that there's going to be a spot for him somewhere, whether it's this season or in the near future. And I feel the same way about Guyton. Like, I think with Guyton moving from the right side to the left side, probably going to be some growing pains. Yep. Probably going to be a little bit of rust. There's probably going to be some ups and downs and things like that. But I just like the idea of being, hey, we're putting this guy with Tyler Smith, and we're going to try and have these guys work together for the next decade. Yeah. And we think that ultimately that's going to be a really good group. Correct. Even if it does start out a little rough, it's about more than just the first, you know, 5-6 games or whatever it takes for him to kind of get comfortable there.
Well, you have positional flex. Mm-hmm. I mean, to your point, if you had to play musical chairs, you have the guys to be to play it, right? If you needed to say that BB wasn't ready to play center, okay, well, now he's just backing up your right guard position, right? Or maybe Tyler Guyton's not ready to play. Maybe he can't make that switch immediately to left tackle. So what? Now you bump Tyler Smith out and you put BB at the left guard, right? TJ, you know, Bass comes in at center, right? You still have Zach Martin. What if Terrence Steele goes down? Well, Guyton, that's your natural position.
Yeah.
So go out to the right side. So you have the flexibility to move guys around. That's not to say that you should want to, but you have the availability and you have the capability of doing so.
It's funny because we went into this draft with a lot of questions about the offensive line. And for me, I only have one left, and that's just really who's going to run away with that swing tackle job. Like, who will be the swing tackles? As you mentioned, like, if Terrence Steele was to go down or Guyton, it is a position where you really do need that third offensive tackle being somebody that you can count on. That's the only thing that I really, going into Oxnard, I'm not too sure about. Like, who will emerge there? Will it be Let's go? Can he stay healthy? Will it be Awesome Richards? I don't know about that position. Everything else, though, even the depth in the middle, I feel much better about now than I did going into the draft.
And I think that's the whole point of it. You know, it's not going to be it's going to be a long term answer. And in the short term, it's like you have to determine who the five best guys are and put them out on the field and see how they work together. Right. Well, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll discuss more on this draft class and maybe more Ezekiel Elliott. So leave us a text. Our text line is 817-290-3298. We'll be right back after this break.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at BankofAmerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talking Cowboys, sponsored by Black Rifle, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. The next segment is brought to you by Quaker Oats, the super trusted superfood of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah, did you get your oats in today?
I did not. I'm actually trying to cut my carbs a little bit right now.
Okay, carb
cutting. Trying to cut my carb count. I'm trying to get pool ready, you know?
But when you are doing carbs, the first choice is Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats, yeah, slow burn. A slow burning carb, man.
That's why
the Quaker Oats is a good morning oat. Right, good morning carb, because it's not a quick burn. Now, if you're going to work out, right, you might want to have something else, right? But if you're looking for a long-standing carbohydrate that keeps you throughout the day, kind of keeps your energy levels high, Quaker Oats is where it's at, man. People don't understand. You have to consume different types of carbs based upon what your day looks like.
I don't. I only do Quaker Oats.
Only Quaker Oats.
All day, every day. Yeah.
Straight.
Yeah. That's interesting. And just add different, you know, proteins.
What's your number one topping?
For oats, blueberries.
Really? See, I can't do a hot cereal with
a fruit.
With fruit. I can't do hot fruit.
Well, if you put a little honey, I don't know. That's just me.
What about you?
I don't. I don't know why you guys ever turn this to me, because I always say that.
Beamer, what's your go-to for oats?
Not a breakfast eating person at all.
So I do honey inside. Yeah, honey. I do honey. Yeah,
I'm a brown sugar guy.
So I used to do brown sugar, but I didn't want to put sugar in there, so I grabbed honey.
Yeah, that makes
sense. You know who's a big oat guy for real? Is Nate Newton.
Big dog. I talked to Big Nate yesterday, man.
How's he doing?
He said he is moving around. I was so happy. Listen, I love Nate. Nate's like a big uncle to me, right? We spend a lot of time together, obviously, during the season. And I love the dude, and I hate seeing former players in pain, but I really hate seeing Big Nate in pain, right? So walking around all those years of blocking for Emmitt and Troy, and he hurts when he walks, right? His knees was shot. So Big Nate had double knee surgery.
It didn't.
Double knee surgery.
And didn't tell anybody about it.
Nope. Double knees. Laid up in bed for 4 to 6 weeks, legs just straight. And now he said he used to struggle to walk for 1 mile back in the day, you know, before the surgery.
Yeah.
And he said, but without, you know, causing any kind of anguish.
Even at training camp, he would call us, be like, hey, do you have the cart?
Yeah,
like, can you pick us up?
My dog made me smile so big yesterday. He said he's walking 2 to 3 miles a day right now with these new knees. So I'm so happy for him, man. He deserves it. All the former players that put their, you know, sweat equity and blood, sweat and tears, deserve to feel good when they wake up. And the reality is most guys don't. And I'm happy that he is feeling much better than what he was just even a month ago, 2 months ago.
He's a good dude.
He's amazing.
And anytime you've seen him around here, I remember back at Valley Ranch, you run into him. There's always something. He's always in a good mood. There's always something funny that he has to say. He just brings a good vibe wherever he's at. Yeah. So, no, I didn't even know about that. That's great to hear.
I called him and asked, first question I asked him, I said, you ready to race yet?
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I ain't ready to race yet, Stan.
I'm still ready for my big fella. You know what I mean? Like, he'll shout that down the hall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter who's in the hallway, big fella.
He's not quiet.
Yeah, man. I'm a big guy. I get it. And he has to be also happy about this draft class.
Yes. Yes.
New offensive lineman, right?
Yeah. Yep. The big fellas, man. The big fellas is back. Bully ball. That's what I'm calling it. Go ahead and make the shirt. Bully ball is back.
All right. So we had a couple of signings. Well, a couple. We had, I guess, technically two signings yesterday. We also had Damian Wilson sign yesterday. Did you kind of get any interest? Like, What do you think about the signing overall?
I think they were short at linebacker. They needed at least one more linebacker after the draft. Steven Jones had mentioned that they had been in talks on Saturday with some veteran free agent players just to kind of, he said, get their roster right, I think is how he worded it. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what it was, because I think they're at six right now, six true off-the-ball linebackers. I don't count Mike as a linebacker. I don't. So six true off-the-balls. So I would say, I think there's a good chance they keep five or six. Wouldn't you say that?
It depends on what Zimmer ends up doing.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows what Zimmer's doing, especially after this draft.
I factor in what they'll need on defense, because they're going to go away from the Marquise Bell, Wanya Thomas, safety, correct, come up, play linebacker.
Yeah, you need five on your roster.
And then also the fact on, they're going to have to need a lot of those guys that contribute on special teams. And so that's why I'm thinking they got to keep at least five, and they could potentially keep six. And so they're at six right now on the roster with, it would be Damian Wilson. I think it's Buddy Johnson. They got Eric Kendricks that they obviously signed to the one-year deal. Damone Clark, DeMarvion Overshone, and then late third round pick, Maurice Lewifau. Yeah. So they got six.
Marist.
Yeah. So they got six right now. So
how you pronounce his last name?
Lewifau.
Maurice Lewifau.
Yeah. So.
And he's, I guess, on the smaller side as far as linebackers go. He's more of the athletic type.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of coverage up the middle. And
yeah, I think he came to Notre Dame as a safety, yeah.
And some of his issues, like some of the cons, I guess, on his tape was run blocking, right? Or run stopping.
Yeah.
I wonder how that plays out, though, in Mike Zimmer's defense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing Coach Zimmer's defense. We know what he's done historically. But the moves that they're making roster-wise right now, how they're forming this defensive roster, doesn't look anything remotely like what he's done in the past. So I'm curious as to what his game plan is.
So question for you, John. How do the Cowboys fill out the rest of their roster? I know you kind of brought this up on you have a whole article about it on The Athletic. Shouts to The Athletic.
I think the big thing is that they'll have to do there probably at least one trade somewhere along the lines for some type of a veteran player. Whether I think right now it's defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still thin at defensive tackle. Even if you have your seventh round pick out of Auburn come in and Justin Rogers and contribute, I still think that then he makes up for the loss of Jonathan Hankins. Well, then you still don't make up for the loss of Neville Gallimore. You're still I think one defensive tackle there short, and so I think I could see them doing potentially a trade there. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign some guys in the next week or so, just because now we're at a point where they don't count for the comp picks for the following year. So I think you'll see some more movement there. But I also think it's one of those things, like you go back to training camp. I think it was 2 years ago where we went into camp and we didn't know that they were going to go get Anthony Barr. You know, there's just like moves like that can still be made that, of course, they're probably not going to be like the trading the first round pick for Amari Cooper, you know, but they got different ways they can maneuver. And then also there's a chance that a couple of these undrafted free agents make the squad as well. So I think that's how it gets filled out. But I think the key thing is that they're really going to count a lot on some of these second, third year guys to really have to take a jump. You know, whether you talk about Schoonmaker, Overshone, Mozzie Smith, Sam Williams, Jalen Tolbert. There's a lot of guys that have been on the roster that have had somewhat roles, but now they really got to, you know, they're going to depend on them a lot more.
And I think who had a kind of a tough go at it last season, Damone Clark, I really am excited to see what he does not out of position. I think, you know, putting him into the linebacker position that he started at and what he's going to do going forward, I want to see what he does at that position. And I think, like you said, overall, the second, third-year players, how they perform is going to, you know, bode well for what we do for the rest of the season. Isaiah, anything?
No, I was going to ask you guys, did you guys have any surprises? Was there anything that surprised you guys or any disappointments in regards to the draft?
I think Marshawn Nealon was a surprise for me.
Me as well.
But you brought up a really good point in it being Tank Lawrence's last season under contract with the Cowboys. And I think if you think that the salary cap for this year is really bad, this offseason is bad, wait till next year. And not to say that there's writing on the wall there, but I mean, just the fact of the matter. Like, I don't know if we have enough to pay another season for DeMarcus Lawrence. Maybe we will. But that was a big surprise to me. I didn't expect that at all, especially when, you know, all of the talk is running back at the time.
See, I wasn't thinking running back. Go ahead. What do you think?
No, running back, not getting a running back was, to me, the biggest disappointment. And I'm big on, like, I don't really judge drafts too much after the first 2 days. I think there's a lot of luck involved with hitting on one of those picks on Saturday.
It's a slot machine, basically.
Or more than one pick if you can hit on that on Saturday. If you can get another Deron Bland in the fifth round, that's icing on the cake. But right. I judge it more off the first, you know, 2 days, those first three rounds, and not getting a running back. That was probably my biggest surprise. But if just from a kind of a fun standpoint on Saturday, it was not taking Jerry Rice's kid. Like, I just was like, hey, let's, if you're interested in running back, and I think that part of that is me being a writer. I like the story, just like when they drafted Deuce Vaughn. But I was kind of surprised that Brandon Rice fell that far. He was a productive player at USC. He's obviously got great pedigree, and he falls in the seventh round. That was the only one, just because I watched him in college. Obviously, you know, his dad is the GOAT, and yeah. But outside of that, no, I mean, I think it was a really good draft. I don't think there was really any big surprises other than the fact that running back, defensive tackle, I think are still big question marks on this team.
Yeah, Marshawn Nealand was the knee-jerker for me. I'm not disappointed that they got him. Obviously, he seemingly is a productive player, and it makes sense in terms of what potentially is coming down the road, and especially losing Fowler, losing Armstrong. I mean, you're a little light in the butt where you were. That was your heaviest position. Now you're relatively light there, or at least normal. I was expecting them to get a big boy D-tackle.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they got Rodgers in the seventh, but I was expecting them to get two big boys up front. I expect them to go heavy on offensive line, which they did, and I expect them to go heavy on the defensive line, just because the trenches is where you win ball games, and the trenches is where this team has struggled. So I was a little thrown off by the kneeling. I'm like, we have the ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the ends. I mean, we picked up Sam Williams. Sam Williams is still there, you know? Micah's still there. Like, we have some guys. We drafted, you know, what's his name? Crap.
Fajoko.
Yeah, we drafted Fajoko. Like, he's there. We haven't seen much from him yet. So drafting another one, it just threw me off, because I'm like, there's needs. Like, that wasn't a need for me. I think it was, you know, he might have very well been one of the higher rated guys on their board, and that might have been the what they were going for. But I'm like, there's needs that needed to be addressed. And much like people in Atlanta were mad about, you know, my guy Penix getting drafted after they already had a quarterback, I'm like, hey, like, we have DNs, we need D tackles. So that was my thinking.
I will say this, though. When they tell you after that first round's over that when they were on the clock at 24, mm-hmm. and there were four players that they had in mind at 24, so they felt like if they moved back to 29, they could still get one of those guys. And so those four guys were Jordan Morgan, Graham Barton, Tyler Guyton, and Missouri defensive end Darius Robinson. Mm-hmm. So I think if you knew going in that they liked him that much, that if Guyton goes before, that they could have taken Darius Robinson at 29, I think then maybe it changes your thinking a little bit that, well, hey, maybe they look at D end a little bit, you know, more than they do at some other positions like that. That's the only thing that I think factors in with there. But it was a surprise just because he's not a player that we heard a ton about going into the draft. But when they went on the clock, he was, I believe, most people's best player or one of their top players available. So it wasn't like they were like, hey, we need a DN right now, let's reach for somebody. I mean, it was probably the best one available.
They value that position more than I think any – I think any of the shows that I was listening to on DallasCowboys.com, I don't think defensive end was a big need
that
we brought up. I mean, and especially myself, I wasn't really looking at that position.
After the draft, though, I'll tell you, something came up that I was like, I couldn't wait to ask you about this. So whether you talk about Nealon or you talk about Leafau, the linebacker in the late third, the Cowboys talk a lot about how when you watched film on them, how they have very high effort, don't take any plays off, you know, like really the blue collar workman like stuff like that. So I wanted to ask you, do you think that they were looking for that because they want to add more of that to continue to build this defense? Or do you feel like last year's defense might have been missing that? Mm. I don't know that there's a right answer. It was something I thought of when they said it. I'm like, they take these two defensive players the first 2 days of the draft, and those are key traits that they liked in both of them that they said stood out on both of those players when they watched tape on them.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with – I'm going to say it. Dan Quinn, obviously, you have to be a high-energy, high-effort guy to play underneath Dan Quinn. Okay, you just have to be. You have to be a relentless type player. I also believe, but I think he valued versatility and athleticism more I don't want to say more, but it was kind of on the same level, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, he feels like he could pull that out of you, right? He could pull that extra effort out of you, right? Or the determination, like, as long as you're athletic and you're willing, like, he got you, right? Because he just had the ability to mentor guys. I think now that you switched over to Zimmer, I think there's less emphasis on athleticism and there's more emphasis on, are you a hard-nosed football player?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and that's not to say that Dan Quinn didn't value that either. I know that's going to be the
just a little comparison. More pragmatic, right?
I just think that Zimmer doesn't value athleticism as much. He's like, hey, are you big and are you physical? And are you a hard-nosed player that I don't have to coach effort on?
Because mm-hmm.
I don't have time to coach effort. I coach football players.
It is wild, though, to me, again, like for you, you've been around it. You've seen the behind the scenes way more than I ever have. So I just am always amazed at the whole effort thing because I just assume – that like if you're gonna make it to this level, then you must give high effort all the time. It's the percentage to make it to the NFL or have a chance to is so small that I feel like I get that there are some freak athletes out there that are just like, well, you can take plays off, you're a beast.
Let's look at it like this, and I don't like putting this mark on players, right? But I just go off of what I see on film. When you draft a Mozzie Smith in the first round last year, you drafted him off of potential and athleticism and how freakish of an athlete he is. And again, going to the Dan Quinn tree, like that's what he valued. He's like, okay, I could pull the other stuff out of him. But you couldn't with that one, right? Seemingly. Not to say he wasn't giving effort, but it just based upon what came across for the film.
No, everything you just said right there, I feel like it was the exact same with Brad Marinelli and Tristan Hill.
There you go. So now I think you have a change of regime on that side of the ball. And again, what you know about Zimmer, he's hard-nosed, he likes big physical guys, and he's gonna come at you, right? So those were the type of players that seemingly he went out and got. Nealon's a big physical guy who's going to come downhill. He's not going to coach you on effort. He's going to show you some more skills. He's going to educate you and teach you some more things, add to your toolbox, but he's not going to have to tell you to go, right? And I think that's really where he's going. The same thing with Luafu.
Lufau.
I'm going to get that down. Lufau. My apologies if he's listening. But Lufau, like, again, that's from what I've seen on film. He's a high energy, high just effort guy. Everything else I can coach you up on. I can coach you up on technique, right? But I need you to be balls to the wall, high effort guy every single time.
Will McClay kept mentioning with Leofau's arms being 34 inches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
go-go gadgets.
Yeah, that seems pretty crazy. I know 32 is great for a defensive back. So
yeah, that's pretty.
What'd you measure in it?
I don't know.
You got to be what?
I got some orangutan arms.
32, 33.
Well, Cooper Beebe doesn't have very long arms either. He's kind of
short, but he gets underneath everybody.
Yeah.
Surprisingly,
effort guy.
He has a high. I mean, he bends, man. For what, 6'3", 320? Is that what he is?
Actually, didn't write it down.
I think he's 6'3", 320,
big boy,
330, somewhere around there. I mean, that's a big boy, friend. And you watch his film; he gets underneath guys, and he locks on. He's like a dog on pit. He doesn't let loose.
Mm. All right, boys, let's take our second break. More Talking Cowboys after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com. jackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee. The last segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Back here with John Machota. Back here with Isaiah Stanback with those pearly whites.
That's right.
Boys, last segment. What do we want to get into?
Go ahead.
You were obviously at the press conferences after the draft. Was there anything that stood out about their comments about any of these players individually that kind of stood out to you?
I'd say when I said earlier about the defensive players and the effort, just because I just assumed, because I'm not one of these guys that just crushes the tape for the draft prospects. That's never been my thing. I've luckily been tight with Dane Brugler for a while now, and I lean on him for a lot of that stuff. So
the beast, if
like,
you will.
It's like a boat. You know, you don't want to own the boat. You want to know somebody who has the boat.
There you go. Exactly. But plus, I can't think of myself being able to put in the time that he does to come up with all that stuff. And the same thing with Broadus. I mean, that was his career for so long. Like, I like listening to what they have to say. So anyway, I'm trying to think that the two things that will stand out to me from just following the NFL that are so different with the Cowboys from other teams are, whether you talk about the pre-draft press conference at the end of all these days, how much that they are just willing to talk about Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen in other places.
Right.
Jerry talking about Jonathan Brooks and talk so highly of him, saying it was the best pre-draft interview he's ever had. Like, people thinking that Jerry is doing that, like, mistakenly because they want to get he knew that they were never getting Jonathan Brooks. That's why he said that. That's Jerry's gamesmanship. That doesn't happen, though, again, with other teams, really. And then the other one was, like I said earlier, about they tell you the four guys they were considering on the board. Most teams won't do that, and the reason you don't do that is because if Tyler Guyton doesn't pan out or Beebe doesn't pan out and Darius Robinson ends up being Von Miller or Graham Barton ends up being Zach Martin or something like that,
you'd have these direct players have the point to back.
I'm
to.
Telling you, hey, and it's the history of the franchise. I'm telling you, I will always remember one of my fondest memories from Valley Ranch, and I have several, but one of them is walking with a couple other reporters with Jerry in 2012 after they traded up and got Morris Claiborne. And so it was at the end of day two, and it was after the press conference, and we're walking with Jerry, and we're just like, hey, if you did have that second that you didn't trade for Claiborne, who were you going to take? And he's like, oh, that Utah State linebacker. And I knew when he said that, it's not like he's just going to say whatever. And it's Utah State, whatever. And that's Bobby Wagner. And so it's like you like look back on that and you're like, you could have had Michael Brockers and Bobby Wagner or Morris Claiborne. And it's like in the moment, people wouldn't, because how much did people really know at that time about the Utah State linebacker? You didn't know he was going to be what he was. And when it happened, you were like, man, they're putting together Brandon Carr with Mo Claiborne. Like, man, this defensive backfield is going to be crazy. And obviously it didn't live up to the investments.
Of course not.
I bring that up to say also that that's the last time that I felt like the organization was super aggressive, like, and they've been a lot more conservative since then, whether it's free agency, trading up in the draft.
And you think that was a reaction to the more
absolutely
play one?
Yeah. And the Brandon Carr thing, too. They haven't had a significant free agency signing since then outside the building.
That was insane for the time.
Right. No, it was.
It was, 30 guaranteed? And at the time, we were like, wait, what?
No, it was 5 years, $50.1 million.
50, yeah. 50, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember it was 50.1 so that he could reset the whatever the top corner money was at the time, which is crazy thing now because now top corners are getting over 20, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
But yeah, that's really it. They're always entertaining, though. They're always like all those press conferences that they do. That's why people ask me, well, why don't you go back to Detroit for the draft? I'm like, you want to be wherever, if you're covering the Dallas Cowboys draft, you want to be wherever Jerry Jones is, because you just never know what he's going to say. You never know which direction it's going to go in.
There are nuggets
to sit there and talk about how deep the offensive line was in this draft and say, well, why do you rob banks? That's because where the money is. Like, it's a great anecdote, and it's a great thing to include in your stories. But again, it's just one of those things that most other teams' owners, GMs aren't saying.
Or even the rowdy thing I thought was.
The great. Rowdy thing, of course, yeah. No, with the number zero, yeah. Yeah, making a joke that, you know, he was asked if he wouldn't mind a player wearing number zero, which I think a lot of people would want DeMarvion Overshown. I think, you know, that was the number that fits with him. And I think his even his Twitter handle is something like Agent Zero or something. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. But anyway, and he just made a joke about how, like, well, that's Rowdy's number. We got to ask Rowdy first if somebody can wear that. But, yeah, it's just it's always entertaining. But there's just a lot of little things that they do that's a lot different than other teams for sure.
Outside of the Cowboys, what was the most surprising pick for you guys just overall? Just
it's not even close. It's your boy Penix.
That's right.
And the only reason I say it, the only reason is because of the Kirk Cousins thing.
Yes.
Yeah. If they didn't sign Kirk Cousins and give him basically $100 million guaranteed, 90, I think it is, I'm fine with it. Because I saw plenty from Michael Penix to go, I can easily see why this guy would be a top 15 pick, you know? I feel like me personally, and I'm, again, not crushing the tape like a lot of other people are, but I saw more from Michael Penix in college than I did J.J. McCarthy. And I mean, J.J. McCarthy's – the talk about him leading up to the draft, it was crazy. I mean, the only people that were talked about more were probably Caleb Williams and I guess maybe Jaden Daniels. And then right there, I felt like J.J. McCarthy was talked about more than Drake May, Penix, all those guys. But I would say that was the one surprise. And then, again, I got to stick with cornerbacks. It just – when all those guys were going – and then Bo Nix went – I thought for sure Spencer Rattler would go with like in another 20, 30 picks.
No, he
for him
for
to last as long as he did, that was kind of surprising me too.
He waited for a while. With Penix, I was when it got to, I think it was the Giants pick, I was like, please no. Like,
yeah, yeah.
After our talk, I was like, I hope this isn't Penix.
Man. What were you thinking though? Falcons go on the clock? Or, I mean, are you thinking Falcons are a possibility there?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Where were you thinking he could possibly go? Where would have been a good fit for him?
I think he was the best available quarterback. Yeah. To be honest with you. I think he was the best quarterback.
After Caleb Williams?
No, I think he was the best quarterback. Yeah, I mean, yeah. After,
period.
I think he's better than Caleb Williams. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just being genuine. That's not even being a fan of UW. I think he's the most pure quarterback that was in this draft. His ability to throw the rock, this dude is a specimen when it comes to throwing that rock. The only reason why they had knocks on him was because his injuries before he got to UW. But this dude led the FBS last year, you know, not this year, but the previous year in passing, and then he was the runner-up to a Heisman this year. So, like, there was just no respect being placed on his name at all. He could make throws that none of those guys could make. But I'm happy for him. That was very ballsy of Atlanta to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy for Penix.
You know, I wonder how much it hurt him, though, that final game against Michigan. There was almost a little bit of a deer in the headlights feel. That where you were like, the moment, like,
I was disappointed.
Moment was too big.
Yeah. And I wonder if that, excuse me, impacted it at all. It shouldn't have because he's got such a big body of work. But yeah. Mm-hmm. I always wonder with like things like that. But then again, man. As someone that roots against the University of Michigan, C.J. Stroud did not play well in either of Ohio State's games against Michigan, and he comes to the NFL, yeah, and he is out. A baller. So
I know we don't have enough time to address this question,
okay,
but I have to bring it up. I wanted to talk about the cornerback draft, too. I didn't know how you guys felt about Kalen Carson. But anyway, real quick, the receiver market is exponentially going up.
Mm. Oof. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That happened right before the draft.
How quickly does this deal with CeeDee Lamb need to get done? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown got 30 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after Philadelphia said, "Hey AJ, don't even raise your eyebrow. We got you. Here's 32.
Yeah,
got you." So now CD is like, "Oh, AJ Brown got 32. That's interesting. Let's start the conversation at 34."
Mm.
The problem is, though, I will say about this is that we don't know what his side has asked for. They might be asking for 35 right out the gate and have them the entire time.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. That's right. A quote by this philosopher named Fat Joe.
So what about this, though?
I think you have to do it before Justin Jefferson, personally.
Justin Jefferson's going to wait.
What if they keep waiting, too? What if they're willing to use multiple franchise tags? Hmm. I mean, it'll get ugly.
It will.
But what if that's in their plans?
Then what are you telling Micah?
No, I'm saying, well, one of them you'll have to get done.
But I'm saying
the other one.
I don't see them using a franchise tag on CD if this gets ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of what it would do to Micah.
Mm.
So this, I'm saying, this deal has to get done ASAP, like Rocky.
But is Micah going to care if they agree to a contract extension with him, makes him the highest paid defensive player? Do you think he's really going to be like, hey, but what about my guy here? I think he's going to be fine.
They better figure it out before Micah ever gets that close to free agency.
Yeah, because I agree.
Price will be, I don't think
Dallas. The CD one's the most surprising thing of the offseason for me, Cowboys-wise.
Hurry up.
It's not them not doing that much in free agency because we're used to it. Like, you know, we were talking about the Brandon Carr thing. That it's that CD's not done because he's done everything to check off all the boxes to where there's no questions left. He's a top five receiver.
And I also understand waiting for the market to settle, I guess, and kind of determine where you want to go with that. But my thing is, like, you have to get it done before.
What's the number right now? What's the starting
conversation? Yeah, see, that's the conversation thing, though. We don't know what they're asking for. What if the entire time they've been asking for 35? I don't know that. I'm just throwing something out there. If they're asking for 35, another guy getting 30, another guy getting 32 isn't really changing it for you. Understood, you know what I'm
but as of right now, let's just say that they weren't asking anything to date. What does the conversation start with today?
If I'm
being that AJ Brown just 35. Got
33.
No, but that's not what you're asking for. You would ask for more.
What am I asking for? 40. Of course. But I think you're hoping for 33 to 35.
Whatever the contract has to be, it's going to have to be you have to be the next guy that's number one.
Yeah. And how many years, too? Does he want to go back to the well sooner, like Dak did? You know
I feel like so many of these guys, it's 4-year deals.
We're talking about $2 million a game.
Is he worth $2 million a game?
Absolutely.
I think CeeDee Lamb is. I do.
I'm not saying he's not worth it. I'm just saying that's worth the conversation.
He's your number one.
Also, you guys do realize that CeeDee and Jefferson are with the same company. Mm. They're both a CAA. So, I mean, like, it's not
they're both
one guy is going to start first because they both know what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Let's just have them sign the same deal at the same time.
Not happening.
Same day.
There's going to be slides.
It's not going to happen, but I'm just saying their CAA represents both of them. Now, they do have different agents within CAA, but CAA is the.
Well, eventually, one of those guys are going to want to get their money.
Yeah, for sure.
That they're going to be like, okay, this is fun. Now let me get that contract.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Let's sign it.
And then Jamar Chase will top all of them.
I would assume CeeDee would want to sign before Justin. But, I mean, whatever. We'll find out.
Conversation starts at least 33.
33?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown have reset that market, absolutely it does.
Jeez.
It's not like we're going to come back here one day and we're going to be like, hey, it's crazy. You see wide receiver market?
Hey.
Top guy's getting 25 now. It's not going the other way.
CeeDee's sitting on the couch right now with his ankles crossed with a toothpick. Just
wait.
Go ahead.
But how long can you do that for?
He can do it for as long as he needs to. Cowboys.
Really? Jamar is not with CAA.
Cowboys cannot. Cowboys.
No, but I'm saying that Jamar would be the next guy. Then he would reset over all of them. I don't really care about the agency, to be honest with you. I think all these guys all want to each, whether they're represented by the three of us or somebody else, they all want to reset the market.
All right, boys. That'll be it for Talking Cowboys.
What?
We'll be back next Tuesday. What? We're out of here, man.
We
got to go. It's time. Next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Thank you very much. Tune in for Cowboy Storyline after this. Then we also have Hanging with the Boys today at 2:10. Thank you for Chris Beam, Isaiah Standback, John Machota. Let's do this. Josh Rodriguez. Thank you, Kyle Yeomans. Thank you, Nick Harris. Even though you're not here, we appreciate you. Later.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!